WML News at 7. Good morning. I'm Maria Leaf. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking in Qatar, saying it is possible for Afghanistan to keep the peace with the Taliban.
Through an inclusive negotiation process, you each have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to overcome your divisions and reach agreement on a peaceful future for the benefit of all Afghans. And if Afghans embrace their common interest in a united Afghanistan while respecting the rich diversity of the country's people, we believe with all our hearts that a durable peace is in fact possible.
Pompeo speaking at the opening ceremony of the Afghanistan peace negotiations earlier today. A sure sign of fall is here as the annual deer call getting underway this morning in Fairfax County. Catherine Edwards is a wildlife management specialist with the county police.
This year's program includes 684 archers that have been selected, and they've successfully passed the qualifications and screening requirements. Authorized archery hunting is closely monitored by the Fairfax County Police Department.
Last year, the archers were able to take out close to 900 deer. Congress remains gridlocked over additional funding for the coronavirus.
There is bipartisan support for additional coronavirus stimulus spending, but lawmakers remain at odds over the size and scope of the next rescue package.
And my interpretation is that the reason for that is we're getting closer to the election.
A so-called skinny rescue bill introduced by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was blocked by Democrats this week. The half-a-trillion-dollar measure fell well short of a more than $3 trillion package approved by the Democratic-controlled House in May. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says additional COVID funding will not be included in ongoing negotiations over a broad government spending bill needed to prevent a shutdown at the end of the month. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
White House tours resume today.
White House tours resume after a six-month hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. Face coverings will be required for those over the age of 2, and group sizes will be limited to 18% of normal capacity. Attendees will be required to practice social distancing, and the tours will take place 2 days a week instead of 5 on Fridays and Saturdays. The White House tours abruptly stopped on March 12th as the pandemic began to spread across the U.S. Members of the public must request a tour from their respective member of Congress more than 21 days in advance. In Washington, John Decker, Fox News.
Tomorrow, the Washington football team opens its season.
The players are being so responsible in taking this understanding that we have to get the game up and running. And we're not having breakouts, so whatever they're doing right now, it's working.
Julie Donaldson, the new media face of the franchise, says it's been a challenge to keep the players separated.
If one on the running back team gets COVID, then the entire running back room would be down.
The only time they'll throw caution to the wind is on the field. They host the Eagles at an empty FedEx field tomorrow. Airtime on WMAL is at noon. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
And in sports, the Nats beat the Braves 8-7 last night. They'll square off just after 6 this evening. The O's got crushed by the Yankees 10-1. They'll try to rebound this afternoon. First pitch set for just after 1 o'clock. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Sunday on WMAL. Start your day with VAC Sunday Magazine at 5. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Purity Products. Hear The Wise Investor at 9, Not Free America at 10, and Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at 11. Real Estate Today at 7, and Sunday night at 9, it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Finding the right person for the open position within your company, it's no easy feat. You can post the job, you can see hundreds of incoming resumes and inquiries, but finding the right person, that's what you're really looking for. ZipRecruiter helps you find that right person. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Their online technology identifies people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's how the owner of a construction company, Monica Starks of GS Group, makes the perfect hire for pivotal positions. Through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company has hired the right project managers, field scientists, and accountants. She's not the only employer to love ZipRecruiter's technology and success. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try ZipRecruiter now for free and see for yourself. ZipRecruiter.com/rush. Very simple. ZipRecruiter.com/rush.
WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Lowndes County, you will still find westbound 50 closed at Hutchinson Lane due to a serious accident. On 66 eastbound, just west of Virginia 123, there's a disabled vehicle in the right lane. And in Garrisonville on 95 southbound in Stafford County at exit 143B at 610 in Garrisonville, you will still find the fire department activity blocking the right lane, the right shoulder, and the entrance ramp. Watch for delays there. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds to start your Saturday. We'll have the chance for a couple of isolated showers as well early this morning. I think late this morning we'll actually break into a little bit of sunshine, becoming partly cloudy by the afternoon. Highs today in the mid to upper 70s will drop into the upper 50s to mid 60s by early tomorrow morning under partly cloudy skies. For your Sunday, just a few clouds, highs in the lower 80s, have the chance for a few isolated showers to our west by the afternoon hours. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 68 in Greenbelt, 71 at Reagan National. I'm Maria Leaf on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. I'd like to share what one of our roofing customers said. We knew we needed to replace our roof, but we had just done a kitchen remodel and the whole thing was a nightmare. So we were apprehensive about doing another project. We kept hearing New Look say how easy they make it, so we decided to give them a shot. What a difference. They came out, it was total transparency. They gave us a 3D image of our house, complete with a list of measurements, and the pricing broke down, so we knew exactly what we were paying for. And they have a great price guarantee. It was super easy. Find out why over 30,000 homeowners have trusted New Look to do their roof. Through September, save 50% on all roofing materials, plus qualify for interest-free financing until 2022. Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
With Wells Fargo Mobile Deposit, Mom can seamlessly deposit a birthday check before grabbing ice cream with the fam.
All right. Thank you, Grandma. Well, happy birthday to me. Hey, anybody else want ice cream?
Ice cream? Seriously? I love ice cream.
Let's go. Come on.
Mom, let's go.
I'm already in the car.
With Wells Fargo Mobile Deposit, you can deposit checks in a snap, scream for ice cream, and bank without missing a beat. Visit wellsfargo.com/keepthebeat to learn more.
Some accounts are not eligible for mobile deposit. Availability may be affected by your mobile carrier's coverage area. Your mobile carrier's message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. Saturday morning update, hour two on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined each week by the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, John Gizzi. How you doing, John?
I'm doing just fine after a day of memorializing 9/11.
It's been a week of controversy, this time a book by Bob Woodward about Donald Trump and including a lot of recorded interview content from Donald Trump. Where do you see this going from here? Will there be long-lasting damage to President Trump, or is this a shorter news cycle?
The shelf life of the book is likely to be, at the most, until October 1st, and at that point, it will be available at a much reduced cost, which is when I probably will read it. The truth is that Donald Trump did not submit to Robert Woodward's interviews when he wrote his previous book, Fear. The book did little harm to him, albeit it had some juicy stories about the Trump White House. Now, for the book Rage, the president sat down 18 times, in fact. If there's anything damning in these interviews, it is that the president knew about the severity of the coronavirus crisis and downplayed it for the public. Now, of course, the answer to this from the Trump team is, why would he talk about it and raise panic? He was seeking calm. I've already heard the analogy to George W. Bush after 9/11 telling Americans, go live your life as you have and go out shopping. And that was his way of saying the country had to be calm. The president's way in 2020 was simply to downplay the effects of the virus. Now, there's been some criticism of this, but almost to a person, Republicans have said it means nothing to them and they support Mr. Trump. Overall, like a lot of Bob Woodward's books, Rage is going to sell well, it's going to be discussed, and it'll be widely reviewed, and then people will move on.
John, you mentioned trying to avoid panic. I remember very recently when we could not get toilet paper, paper towels, milk, fresh chicken, or a number of other regular items at the grocery store because people were panicking in their own way.
It would be called hoarding, and under the circumstances, if the president proclaimed that this was a national emergency, it would be hoarding en masse.
Let's turn to the coronavirus relief package, the vote finally taken on Thursday. Democrats nixed it. What happened and what's next?
Very simply, the Republicans opted for the slimmed-down or skinny version of the package, and that was half $1 trillion in relief. Now, it had a lot of things in it, including about half of it for payments to the unemployed, and then $30 billion for coronavirus vaccine research, $20 billion to the farmers, and things along those lines. But in the end, it wasn't enough for Democrats, and it was too much for Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. The package went down to defeat. Democrats from the beginning said that they were not going to buy it. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, said simply, "Get real, Mitch McConnell," and she contrasted what the Republicans had to offer with the package the Democratic House had already enacted with a $3 trillion price tag. Clearly, both sides were going in opposite directions, and in an election year, normally the parties come together to spend money. It seems increasingly unlikely that's going to happen between now and November.
President Trump came out this week with a list of potential Supreme Court justice nominees, if he is in fact to replace a Supreme Court justice. Some surprises on the list, some non-judges on the list.
Yes, exactly. And this was clearly meant as red meat for the president's base. Senators Ted Cruz of Texas, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, and Josh Hawley of Missouri all have distinguished credentials as lawyers. All are U.S. senators, and none are going to be on the court any more than the two former solicitors general, Paul Clement and Noel Francesco, will ever go to the bench. The fact is that increasingly the Supreme Court is the next step up from being a judge, either at the federal level or the state level. In the last half century, there's only been one non-judge named to the highest court in the land, and that is Elena Kagan, who was Barack Obama's Solicitor General. The last time a U.S. senator was named to the court was under President Harry Truman. But what's interesting is, just as when he named his first list of prospective justices 4 years ago, Donald Trump has put the pressure on Democrats to come up with a list of their own and let the American people know who they're considering for the Supreme Court, which could have as many as four vacancies for the next president to fill. So far, Mr. Biden has said nothing except that he plans to name the first black woman to the Supreme Court. He'll be under extreme pressure from the Republicans, not to mention the press, to start naming names.
We've heard about the poisoning of the Russian dissident Alexei Navalny, and there are elections in Russia this weekend on the municipal level. What impact could that poisoning have on those elections, and how important a figure is Navalny in Russia?
Navalny is, as the Wall Street Journal put it, the man Vladimir Putin fears the most. He's organized mass demonstrations. He's put out podcasts about corruption within the Kremlin that are widely viewed. And he's recruited candidates to run the sometimes dangerous race of seeking office against Putin-blessed candidates or members of Putin's own United Russia Party. This is precisely what he was doing in Siberia a few weeks ago, when he collapsed and was later found to be poisoned. I'm happy to report that Mr. Navalny is now in stable condition. Now, under normal circumstances, when everyone from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to the EU foreign ministers have denounced the poisoning, one would think the voters would rise up in rage to support candidates against the Kremlin, the obvious culprit in this poisoning. But it's not that easy in Russia. For the most part, elections are wired, stacked, rigged, and packed, and the outcome may not be a repudiation of Putinism. We'll know on Sunday.
John, you wrote a very interesting article on Diana Rigg, the actress who passed away this week, and you had actually gone to see her at the Library of Congress in 1991 in a speaking engagement she had, and her career is pretty amazing.
Well, I think that the British politician Nigel Farage said it best. Dame Diana Rigg was a cultural icon who spanned more than two generations. And all she did was with real class. That about said it all. Today's generation knows her primarily as Olenna Terrell, the matriarch and grandmother on TV's ever-popular Game of Thrones. But she was much more than that, even though her role won her nominations for an Emmy twice. Just recently, in My Fair Lady, she was nominated for the Tony for the first time in her career and has won awards in Britain over the years, including being knighted by the Queen in 1994. Dame Diana Rigg has been on the stage. She's been in movies and was a Bond girl, the only Bond girl, in fact, who ever married the storied secret agent, only to be killed by his arch enemies after a few hours. She's best known to many as Mrs. Emma Peel, the super secret agent and partner of the suave John Steed on TV's The Avengers. She only portrayed Emma Peel for two seasons, 51 episodes, but other people, younger viewers, can see her through YouTube and DVDs. The series remains very popular. What I remember about her the most is her mastery of karate while wearing her skin-tight outfits known as Emma Peelers. She saved her partner John Steed's life as many times as he saved her, and in the process, they did so over cocktails late in the afternoon, her driving a sports car, him driving a Bentley. They did it all with great style. Dame Diana Rigg was someone who will not be forgotten in the entertainment world. It is said there's nothing like a dame. Dame Diana Rigg.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at John Gizzi. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Have a nice weekend.
And you too. 7:18, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Cheryl Atkinson up next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
You will still find some fire department activity on 95 southbound at Virginia 610 and Garrison Villaquay, exit 143. Right lane is blocked and the entrance ramp still closed. Expect about a 3-mile delay as a result. Also in Sterling, westbound 50 is still closed near Hutchinson Farm Drive due to an accident. And on 66 eastbound in Fairfax County, just west of 123, there is a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane. Also, there is some road work on the outer loop of the Beltway, just south of River Road in the right lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies this morning. We'll see some afternoon sunshine. Temperatures today a little bit cooler with an easterly flow, highs reaching the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows into the upper 50s in the suburbs, mid-60s around town. For your Sunday, partly cloudy, stray afternoon showers well to the west. Highs tomorrow in the lower 80s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
70 degrees at 7:19 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. So glad you joined us, and it's great to welcome back Cheryl Atkison. She has been on hiatus from the Saturday Morning Update for the summer. She's been out in the field producing a number of segments for Full Measure. Of course, that airs every Sunday at 10 on ABC7. Cheryl, great to have you with us.
Good to be back. Thanks.
And congrats on season 6 of Full Measure. Now, as part of your show tomorrow, you made another trip to the southern border. It's been, of course, a key campaign issue for President Trump in 2016, will be also in 2020, an ongoing topic of contention between the Democrats and Republicans over the past 3.5 years. What did you find when you went to the border in terms of what's different now than when President Trump came into office?
Well, I'm looking into how much wall has really been built and what impact, if any, it's really had. That'll be in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, I was looking at illegal drug trafficking and human trafficking, where we are going into the 2020 election. No agenda, no expectations. You know, I just went to the border and found out, looked at the stats, and we just have some fascinating stories and action and beautiful video that goes with us on the border between California and Tijuana, Mexico. But one thing that surprised me, I'll tell you, Rick, was that even before coronavirus hit, before the travel restrictions, the human trafficking and the apprehensions were way down from this high that they had reached in 2019. So that was one trend I really didn't expect, that would be lower, and it's continued to be lower. In fact, with just a month to go before the end of this fiscal year, we're down to under 400,000 people being apprehended. Sounds like a lot. But last year, it was 977,000. So we're talking about less than half right now. And then in terms of illegal drugs, I'll be talking about that too. Illegal drugs are up, though, which is kind of surprising. And one funny thing, you know, they legalized marijuana in California hoping to eliminate the illegal pot trade. Well, the illegal pot trade is booming in California as it's done in other states that have legalized marijuana. In fact, marijuana seizures just between April and May were up 35%, and cocaine interdictions doubled during that time. Meth seizures up 66%. So I guess in short, you could say drugs up, human smuggling down.
So is the uptick in marijuana due to, I guess, dealers wanting to avoid the taxes and whatever regulations come with the legal distribution of marijuana?
Bingo, yes. And that'll be, I'm still researching that, a topic of another cover story in a couple of weeks. But, you know, we went to Denver, Colorado to look at Colorado maybe 2 years ago. It's much the same. Wherever they've legalized marijuana, there are all these, we're talking to advocates. We're not talking to opponents, but even advocates are very disappointed at some of the things that have happened that have come with the legalized drug movement and some of the things that did not happen that everybody hoped would happen.
Well, it's been a summer of violence in a number of American cities, and especially where constraints have been put on police and law enforcement. You've got a story on it tomorrow. And what are you finding when the police are hampered in doing their job by the municipalities? What happens then?
Well, it's kind of predictable. We know that crime goes up and that the citizens and the residents of the poor, crime-riddled communities tend to be the ones that suffer, and they want the police in their communities by and large, you know, with some exceptions, but most of them think that, you know, they want the patrolling there. They need them. So Scott Thuman went to Minneapolis for us and kind of went out one night to see what's going on and found that there are armed citizens in some of these neighborhoods now taking to the streets because the police in some cases don't go there and aren't patrolling as much as they used to. They're having an uptick in crime. And so these residents are filling the gap, and a lot of people who live there are worried. He'll talk to some of the people that say, look, we never wanted to abolish the police. You know, maybe there's some improvements needed, but he didn't speak to anyone. And he talked to a lot of people in Minneapolis, anyone in these neighborhoods who thought the police should be abolished or defunded. So it's an interesting story. You'll see what happens when residents feel like they have to take to their own streets to protect themselves.
And we've seen gun sales spiking around the country as well.
We have. You've
authored Stonewalled and The Smear about the media. You have a new book coming out in November, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. We saw what many would consider media bias in 2016, and as you contrast 2016 with what we're seeing today and what we expect in the next 2 months, how do you kind of sum up where the media is today?
Well, more of the same, if not worse. It feels a lot like 2016 to me. I thought we were going to do, you know, self-correction and analysis after we got so much wrong, after everyone admitted, including FBI and Inspector General Horowitz and Special Counsel Mueller, that we got the Russia collusion theme wrong, you know, went down the wrong fork in the road, as I like to say. But we never did as an industry a mea culpa. How did it happen? How can we stop from such broad misreporting and irresponsible reporting in the future? How can we make it right? And instead, you know, we're going to have, it looks to me, like the smear du jour rollouts, probably 2 to 3 a week, major ones, with some minor ones tossed in there that are pre-scheduled, pre-orchestrated, you know, because we allow them to do this. Both sides have these political action committees and operatives that roll out stuff with the press, and we cooperate. And I think people at home, they're sick of it. They see it for what it is. A lot of people do. And instead of turning on the television or looking, you know, online and getting news, you're just getting campaign operatives dueling back and forth about the same story they're beating to death instead of telling us about what's happening in the world. I think we're in a bad space.
And we're in such a news cycle that no one takes the time to press an issue. They may ask a question, they may do a follow-up, but nobody will really take that third or fourth question to really pin them down when somebody is making an absolute fabricated misstatement. Nobody will push them on it.
Well, I think that's true. And then, you know, on the other hand, they will press somebody else. I mean, it kind of depends on who's asking the question of whom, because they'll beat a dead horse about some things that I think either are proven to be incorrect or matter little to the general public in the scheme of things. But on the other hand, some very important things like tracking down how we could have been so wrong and who was pulling the strings in this false Russia collusion narrative. This is big stuff when we're talking about government officials doctoring documents and colluding to impact the elections and oust a duly elected president. These are really important things that we're not digging into. Kind of, you know, people talk about it and what a travesty it is, but then we're led by the nose down the road to do, again, to react to the latest smear that is orchestrated and put out there for the news cycle.
And you have an opinion piece on the topic coming out in The Hill in the next week, I believe.
That's right, probably in the next day or two.
Cheryl Atkison, host of Full Measure. The premiere of Season 6 is tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on ABC7. Cheryl, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
7:27, it's the Saturday Morning Update. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up and KT McFarland.
Mary Walter here for EMP 180 Weight Loss. With everything going on, there's never been a better time to get healthier in every way possible. Here's just one out of hundreds of our listeners who found success with EMP 180.
I'm Marjorie. I've lost over 30 pounds in 5 months, and I have more energy during the day. I'm sleeping better at night. I don't have any nagging backaches that I once had. My clothes fit great, and my neighbors are like, wow. And they can see the difference. I'm delighted with the results of my EMP weight loss program. The journey was just incredible.
With EMP 180, you can choose safe one-on-one appointments, 100% remote consultations and coaching, or hybrid appointments. Boost your immune system, feel stronger, and be empowered to live a healthier life. Go to EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. 855-888-0180. EMP 180, empowering a healthier you.
Many schools are using remote online learning to start the school year, but do you worry about the quality of education your son is getting? Vince Colonnais here, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. They are still accepting enrollments for an in-person classroom experience this fall. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union Military Academy is one of the nation's leading college prep boarding schools for young men in grades 7 through 12. Would your son learn better with a bit more structure? Fork Union's unique one-subject plan curriculum really works to help students reach their full potential. In fact, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. Plus, Fork Union emphasizes traditional core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. While the school year has begun, Fork Union is still accepting fall enrollments for a safer on-campus learning experience, guaranteed to help your son achieve success in the classroom, in athletics, and in life. Visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
Washington comes to talk.
I love our affiliate there, WMAL.
105.9 FM.
You guys leading the way.
WMAL.
WMAL FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM, WMAL. A Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Maria Lee. Virginia's largest school system has been hacked, and the attackers are seeking a ransom payment to keep them from disclosing stolen personal information. The Fairfax County Public Schools saying in a statement, quote, "We currently believe we may have been victimized by cyber criminals who have been connected to dozens of random ransomware attacks in other school systems and corporations worldwide," end quote. At this point, it is unclear how many students and staff may have been impacted by the breach and what information the hackers have. A Northern California wildfire that destroyed a foothill hamlet has become the state's deadliest blaze of the year, with 9 people confirmed dead, including a 16-year-old boy. Meanwhile, more could be in danger due to the smoke.
Air quality now among the worst in the world. In San Francisco, Seattle, and Portland, people in the affected areas are being told to stay indoors, keep their windows closed, and set their air conditioners to run on recirculated air instead of bringing in air from the outside. A number of emergency centers have been opened so homeless people can escape the smoke, but they were set up with a degree of trepidation. The fear is putting folks in a shelter might help spread the coronavirus. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
In sports, the Nats beat the Braves 8-7. They'll square off again tonight. The O's get beat by the Yankees 10-1. They'll try again this afternoon. First pitch just after 1. WMAL, traffic and weather next.
From regular expenses to occasional splurges, there's a lot to buy. Why not get cash back every time you spend? With the PenFed PowerCash Rewards Card, you get cash back on every purchase. That's everywhere, every time you use it. You can even earn a $100 statement credit when you spend $1,500 in the first 90 days. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash to apply. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton, and sometimes when I'm out and about, people will say, "Is it really true that you loved your Good Feet Art Support so much that you bought the store?" "Of course it is," I say. "And I never dreamed that I would run marathons and continue to stay active without my feet getting in the way. When I bought the store in 2014, I would have never imagined that tens of thousands of customers would find relief from foot, knee, and back pain. The support of these loyal customers has allowed us to open new stores throughout Virginia, Maryland, and now North Carolina. I love to hear their stories of walking, running, and just enjoying their new life pain-free. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain keep you from living the life you love. Come into the Good Feet store for your free fitting and test walk and get your own Good Feet story. To find the store nearest you, go to goodfeet.com. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, Maryland.
WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
On the outer loop of the Beltway between the Leesburg Pike and 66, there was an accident along the right side, but looks like that is being moved over to the shoulder. Now, on the BW Parkway northbound at US 50 Kenilworth Avenue, there is an accident blocking the left lane, and that is causing delays. And in Virginia, 95 southbound at 610 Garrisonville Acquire, you will still find the right lane blocked with the fire department activity, long-standing vehicle fire there. Watch out for delays through the area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds to start your Saturday. We'll have the chance for a couple of isolated showers as well early this morning. I think late this morning we'll actually break into a little bit of sunshine, becoming partly cloudy by the afternoon. Highs today in the mid to upper 70s will drop into the upper 50s to mid 60s by early tomorrow morning under partly cloudy skies. For your Sunday, just a few clouds, highs in the lower 80s, have the chance for a few isolated showers to our west by the afternoon hours. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Lee in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 68 in Bowie, 70 at Reagan National. I'm Maria Lee on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. You ever pull out your trash bag unaware that the bottom is split? Then boom, you got a floor full of garbage. You think, why has life got to be so hard? Well, at New Look, we make getting a new roof easy. We offer both virtual and on-site estimates, install most roofs in a single day, and on average, we install one roof every hour. So it's easy to see that we have the experience necessary. And most importantly, we're easy on the wallet. Through September, save 50% on all roofing materials, plus qualify for interest-free financing until 2022. Our price is backed by our price guarantee, where we'll beat any qualified contractor's estimate. Don't you wish everything in life could be as easy as getting a New Look roof? Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
Football is back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of this weekend's action with over $8 million up for grabs across all of their contests. Get in on the action now. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with a DraftKings lineup. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code DCWINS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit and compete for over $8 million in prizes across all contests. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. That's code DCWINS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Sometimes in business, the unexpected comes calling. But even in, I'm going to say it, unprecedented times, don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig, with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks, and with security solutions that help keep your connected devices protected. Be fast, be flexible, be ready for what's next, and bounce forward. Help your business to bounce forward with this amazing offer. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business, starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, for a limited time, ask how to get a $500 prepaid card. Call or go online today to find out more. Offer ends 9/27/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits per second internet customers. Early termination fee applies. After 24 months, monthly service charge increases to $99.99 a month. May not be combined with other offers. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Equipment installation, taxes, and fees extra, subject to change.
.7:37 Saturday morning updates, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart and also president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Always great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always an interesting story, I'll tell you. Like this one. Newly released records from the Department of Justice show that the cell phones of multiple people on then-Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigative team, those phones were wiped for various reasons during the probe. The records showing at least several dozen phones were wiped of information because of forgotten passwords, irreparable screen damage, loss of the device, intentional deletion, and other reasons. The document showing that Mueller deputy Andrew Weissman accidentally wiped his phone twice after entering the wrong passcode too many times. Wow. How do you do that?
Yeah, no, it's this is what it appears to be, obstruction of justice. Let's just connect the dots. They're not that difficult to put together. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were part of the initial team, and obviously we know the story behind their removal. They got caught with texts, anti-Trump texts, indicating that they were acting politically. So, gee, if you're on the team and you find out that two of your colleagues who are anti-Trump got caught with anti-Trump texts, the first thing you're going to do is make sure that your phones aren't also scrutinized for those anti-Trump, and this indicates to me that the entire team, Andrew Weissman down, was compromised from day one. And I hope that Attorney General Barr is examining this for obstruction of justice, because clearly these people decided with intent to defraud the government of critical information as part of an ongoing investigation, we all know, regarding the actual facts and truth about their own investigation. This to me helps illustrate the need for the current investigating the investigators that's ongoing. This is black and white. There's no gray here at all.
You know, the irony of this is that Peter Strzok's book is entitled Compromised. And when I saw that, I'm like, wow, he came out and he admitted he's been compromised all this time. But no, he's actually talking about President Trump.
Let's talk about that real quick. I've prepared information for members of Congress on this issue regarding when they were questioning Strzok. One of the lines of questioning I was asked to prepare was suitability for having access to classified information. And I outlined in the input for their questioning of Strzok the requirements to have a security clearance. And one of them is you can't be sleeping with your partners who were on an investigation with you. Strzok himself was completely compromised with this affair with Lisa Page. And let's be clear here. The first thing that happens when that is learned about by leadership, they suspend the individual's clearance pending revocation, pending the permanent removal of the clearance. Look, Rick, he should never have had a clearance during the time he was doing all this, because he was compromised. There's no doubt. And I think this is something, if it's not being investigated, should be investigated about who may have compromised him by the fact that this was probably fairly common knowledge within the circles of the people he was working with. So that's another area of investigation.
Wow. Well, I want to turn to the peace agreements that President Trump has announced in the last several weeks. And we're going to talk about sort of the foreign policy implications with KT. But I wanted to get your sense from a national security standpoint, how important these moves are moving forward for our peace and stability in the Middle East from a military standpoint.
Yeah, so this is, as we've talked about for years now, I believe that we need to examine the potentiality of extensive military condominium, something we call the Arab NATO. There's been different names for it, but the idea here is to have each nation within the region invest in its own security, and then as we establish these bilateral relationships, establish a larger collective. We will never see a full-blown NATO with an Article 5 being that thing that requires all members to respond to one being attacked. But I do believe that what we're seeing here is fundamentally important to the foundation of a collective military agreement that probably would be the best possible military interaction we could think of since the Gulf War in 91, where we actually put together a coalition. So this is all a very positive step forward.
And I wanted to point out that you have an opinion piece that is just out at amgreatness.com. That's amgreatness.com. And you're talking about the Atlantic and, the article they wrote about the president. And I must point out, anybody that's joined us a little bit late this morning, the Atlantic published a story that the Nobel Peace Prize should be abolished after the nominations for President Trump. So the Atlantic is they're about as far out in the Pacific as you can possibly get.
Yeah, the editorial I do actually responds to their so-called reporting on the president's trip to France back early in the administration, where supposedly he said disparaging remarks. Even John Bolton says that didn't happen. Everybody accounts for not going to the Bellawood cemetery from World War I, where U.S. Marines and U.S. Army members fell and were buried, says that it was a weather-related decision to not go. And I point out in my editorial how completely insane and over-the-top the Atlantic article is. And to your point, the Atlantic further disgraced itself because of President Trump's success in having three agreements, one in Bosnia and Kosovo, because he's got three agreements now that are leading to sustainable peace. Gee, they want to get rid of the peace prize. I swear to goodness, these neocons are, they found a home at the Atlantic, and the Atlantic has become completely insane. It is beyond irrational. I can't even make sense of how irrational it is to be anti-peace at this point in time in our history.
Well, you know, one of the great Trump quotes is, these people are crazy, and that is a shining example of how crazy they've gotten, and it's unbelievable. Yep. Well, Tony's piece is at amgreatness.com, amgreatness.com. The Atlantic's loser attack is disgusting and implausible is the headline on the piece. Tony, thank you so much as always.
Hey, Rick, always be on. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. 7:45, Saturday morning update. Quick check of the traffic and weather. Then we're back with KT McFarland. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, 95 southbound before 610 Garrisonville, that's exit 143. You will still find the right lane blocked with the vehicle fire cleanup. Stay to your left and do watch out for some delays. Now, there was an accident on the outer loop of the Beltway between the Leesburg Pike and 66. That has been moved over to the shoulder, but still some delays there. Also, watch out for some accident activity in Kenilworth on the northbound BW Parkway at US 50 where the left lane is blocked. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies this morning. We'll see some afternoon sunshine. Temperatures today a little bit cooler with an easterly flow. Highs reaching the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows into the upper 50s in the suburbs. Mid-60s around town. Here Sunday, partly cloudy. Stray afternoon showers well to the west. Highs tomorrow in the lower 80s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Storm Watch 7 Weather Center.
70 degrees in the nation's capital at 7:46.
Proud to be Washington's home for Rush Limbaugh.
I do this program for one group of people and one group of people only, and that's you.
105.9 FM.
It is a family.
WMAL.
Larry O'Connor here for EMP 180 Weight Loss. With everything going on, there's never been a better time to get healthier in every way possible. Here's just one out of hundreds of our listeners who found success with EMP 180.
My name is Kevin, and I would highly recommend EMP 180 for anybody who's thinking about losing weight. One of the best things about working remotely with EMP was that I could do it in the privacy of my own home. What I need to be eating, when I need to be eating. For me, it has been the only successful way to lose weight. I've lost over 22 pounds.
With EMP 180, you can choose safe one-on-one appointments, 100% remote consultations and coaching, or hybrid appointments. Boost your immune system, feel stronger, and be empowered to live a healthier life. Go to EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. EMP 180, empowering a healthier you.
We never thought 2020 was going to be this challenging, did we? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and during this difficult time, we need hope. We need a kind of hope that is not just wishful thinking, but rather hope defined as a confident expectation. Let's see hope when we see so many neighbors leaving their homes to exercise and pursue a healthy lifestyle. Let's see hope when we see diverse groups marching together in pursuit of justice and equality. Let's see hope when we see faithful police officers pursue their calling of caring for their neighbors and communities. We have a lot of outstanding problems in our world today, but let's see hope and have hope. Let's work together, play together, and let's dream together. At the Good Feet Store, we would love to help you find hope again. Let's see if we can help you work better, play better, and start dreaming without your feet getting in the way. The Good Feet Store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
Saturday morning update, 7:48. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She was the first Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. She has authored the book Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, good morning. Great to have you with us.
It's a great pleasure and an honor, Rick.
Thank you. And I wanted to talk about the Mueller team wiping their phones. We were just talking with Tony Schaefer about it, but I wanted to get your perspective because your situation's a little different. You were treated differently by these people when it came to your cell phone and your personal information.
Yep, it's the old Washington thing. One rule for me, another rule for thee. Well, what happened to myself and General Flynn and others who were on the transition or even on the campaign, or even in the early days of the administration, our cell phones were seized. Our documents were taken over by the Mueller investigation. We didn't know about it in advance. They seized them from the GSA. They seized them and then had the text messages, the cell phone logs, the emails, and then they could distribute them to us as they saw fit. We didn't have the right to say, well, why don't you give all that information over to me so that I can prepare to talk to you during the investigation? Oh, no, 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 no. They would dribble out what they thought we needed at their discretion. So I think it's a very different treatment. They were smart enough to destroy everything first, which is A, probably illegal, and B, sure does fail the smell test. You know, of the 30-some phones, some had cracked screens. Some were smashed. Some had their data automatically and mysteriously deleted. Others had all their data deleted because they tried to use passwords too many times, incorrect passwords, I might add. So Apple or the cell phone provider wiped the data from it. But the thing that we've learned with the Hillary emails, which was the same techniques that were used in the Hillary email scandal, none of this stuff is hidden forever. So my guess is it's out there somewhere, although it is slightly suspicious that all of the Mueller senior team had all of their data mysteriously disappeared within a very short period of time. To me, this is either criminally incompetent or it's a cover-up.
Well, what I found interesting is we have supposedly intelligent attorneys supposedly at the top of their game in their capacities, and they can't remember their passcodes. I mean, that just doesn't add up.
None of it adds up. But here's the thing, that there is a drip, drip, drip of documents that are released in their own hand, you know, their own handwriting, their own text messages, their own emails. This is not anonymous sources leaking to their friends in the New York Post or the New York Times. The Washington Post. This is actual hard facts. So if the Durham report, the Durham investigation comes up empty, I think a lot of people have a lot of explaining to do. And at that point, the president should just declassify everything. There are no foreign sources that are involved here. There is no revelation of secrets that should be kept secrets. This is just a lot of people who didn't want the country to know what they were doing. Let's find out what they were up to.
Let's turn to something a little more positive. A Swedish lawmaker said Friday that he has nominated Donald Trump and the governments of the United States, Kosovo, and Serbia for the Nobel Peace Prize. It is the president's second nomination for a Nobel Peace Prize. And I wanted to get your assessment, number one, of the magnitude of that honor and also the process. I mean, you as the former Deputy National Security Advisor, you know what it took to achieve these peace agreements.
You know, the thing that every administration has tried for the last 20, 30, 40 years is the same old, same old. They just thought, well, we'll have more negotiations and eventually we'll stumble upon Middle East peace. Trump understood from the beginning, you're never going to get, by doing the same thing over and over again, don't expect a different outcome. What you have to do is change the underlying realities of the region. And so at the beginning of the Trump administration, he set about changing those underlying realities. First, he pushed for American energy independence. So not only did that help our economy and our economic recovery, but it weaned us off of Middle East and Arab oil and the political and military entanglements that come with it. And secondly, American energy production drove worldwide oil prices down permanently. So the Arab leaders, they realized that they can no longer count on lucrative oil exports to fund their governments and their societies. They know they've got to diversify their economies and modernize their societies. And the precondition to that is regional peace. And then third, by Iran's nuclear program, its sponsorship of terrorism and regional hegemonic ambitions. Well, they were a threat not just to Israel, but to the other countries in the region, the Sunni Arab neighbors on the Gulf. So there's an old saying in the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that's what happened. When Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, imposed in crippling economic sanctions on Iran and killed the Quds Force General Qassem Soleimani, it crippled Iran's vast terrorist web. So that meant they have to cut back on their support for the terrorist operations, especially surrounding Israel. And then finally, by removing the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Trump gave the Israelis the political breathing room they needed to seek peace. These were all very carefully orchestrated steps. And that's why Trump was able to do what nobody else has been able to do, which is to get real Arab-Israeli peace. Ultimately, the Palestinians have to fall in line because they're not being paid for anymore. Iran can't afford them, and the Sunni Gulf Arabs don't want to. They voted for peace. So at the end of the day, the outside-in strategy that Trump has used, which is completely at odds with the inside-out strategy all the other presidents have used, that will be the one that wins.
And this is after all the Democratic talking points about how the Middle East is going to blow up when Donald Trump blew up the Iranian nuclear deal. So another.
And it's not just that, Rick. It's the fact that at the beginning of the administration, when President Trump gave the job of Middle East negotiations to Jared Kushner, all the old Washington hands laughed and they made fun of it. What does this kid know? Well, it turns out he was the perfect person to do it. First of all, he had a decades-long personal relationship with Netanyahu and Kushner because of his age and his connections. He was able to make friends with that next generation of Arab leaders. They were young. They had been educated in the West. They were comfortable with modernized societies, realized the necessity of modernizing their economies. And that's how they were able to get to peace. And because they went first to the money men of the Middle East, the bankers, that's where they were able to make inroads, where the previous presidents, you know, President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, they always went to the political leaders. Well, in the Middle East, the political leaders are important, but they don't hold the strings. It's the money guys and the bankers who hold the strings.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to take the time to mention that, you know, I do my Google searches during the week, see, you know, what media appearances you're doing and things, and Fiona McFarlane comes up quite a bit. And, you know, tell us about Fiona. She's your daughter, and she's in a House race in a state, and it's an important state. And tell us a little bit about the campaign, what she's doing. I think it's great.
Well, she won the – you're so sweet to ask, and I'm in Florida right now to help her. She won the Republican primary to run for the Florida State House from Sarasota. She's in what's increasingly a purple district, you know, used to be Republican, increasingly Democrat, so it's a real fight. But what I've been so impressed with, not only I'm so proud of my daughter, but the fact that she, like a lot of people in her generation, they may have had privileges, et cetera, that they've chosen to serve. She went to the Naval Academy. She patrolled the South China Seas on a destroyer and had a very lucrative business career, but she gave it all up because she wants to serve. And in part through her, I've met this whole new generation of leaders. There are a lot of them in Florida, but around the country, they're young, they're principled. They are they're not political ideologues, although they were committed conservatives. And the thing that struck me about the Republican Party now, we've got a huge, deep bench. You could see it at the Republican convention. I mean, people like Senator Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, everybody from sort of age 50 on down, there is a very big bench. They're principled. They're conservative. They're diverse. They've had different backgrounds. And they're all stepping forward to leadership. Now, I compare that to the Democrats. Who's their bench? Really? It's AOC? It's the squad? Oh, come on. Real? I mean, this is – so I think that it speaks very well for the Republican Party. And frankly, America needs leaders like this now to step up, people who can see beyond the ideological extremes, people who can work across the political aisle, people who are used to having different backgrounds. And so it's not just Washington insiders playing political games. So I'm actually really encouraged for the future of the nation. As miserable as things seem right now, I think things will get very much better in the decades ahead.
That's wonderful. And you see that youth and the energy and the commitment when you see these young people at CPAC every year. And I just want to mention, if you'd like to find out more about Fiona and her campaign, the website is Fiona for Florida. And, of course, that's F-I-O-N-A, Fiona for Florida.com. So you can check that out and find out a lot more about Fiona and, you know, her service to our country. KT, I think that's wonderful.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud of her, but I'm really proud of all of the young people in her generation who are stepping forward for military service, for political service, who really love this country. And so as much as right now you wonder who loves this country more than themselves, there actually are a lot of people out there who do care.
K.T. McFarland, author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. K.T., thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it for the Saturday morning update. 8 o'clock news is next with Maria Leaf. Then it's Garden Sense right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.